Wow. My wife said someone complained about the title of my book that's coming out, Life is Short, Leave a Legacy. I think it's because, like, the word legacy is in there, I guess. I don't know. The other one says the Todd White story, so it's probably not that. It's so weird to hear that, that people complain about everything. Like, it's the craziest thing. Everyone that did that in the wilderness died there. It's a sad place to be, to just have something to complain about. There's nothing you can do to please everybody. So if you live your life pleasing to the Father, you've already pleased the one that matters. It's so important. What does it mean to leave a legacy? What does it mean to make an imprint on the world, on the church, with a life that you've been given by God? Like, leaving a legacy isn't living a life that's pleasing to people so you can go down in history as a people pleaser. Like, Christianity is like salmon that swim upstream. You're going against everything, period. If you're not going against stuff, I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm talking about rebelling against sin, the thing that used to control you, dominate you, manipulate you. I'm talking about rebelling against that. And unfortunately, a lot of the church is in sin, so you're looked at as a rebel. Okay, this is going to go over well. All God's asking us to be is obedient. It's the craziest thing. And when you walk in simple obedience, God will bless you, and it will make other people that aren't blessed very angry. All right, Jesus said he's come to give us peace, yet he says, I didn't come to bring peace. That's what he said. He's not contradicting his word. He said, I've come to give you peace, to bring peace, peace that the world can't bring. But the peace that you have is a violation to people that don't have it. He said, I've come to bring you peace, peace that surpasses understanding. You can't even understand it. It's that good. And the more you seek to understand it, the more it drifts away from you, because it's by faith. It's not by your knowing. It's knowing him that produces it. But when you know him, people that don't know him get upset. And religion persecutes relationship, never ending. On the day that Jesus hung on the tree, religion persecuted relationship still. But relationship didn't get upset by religion. Relationship said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Why? Because Jesus knew who he was. So when everybody came against him, he didn't come against anybody. It's amazing. It's the Christian life. Unfortunately, we get our feelings hurt because we're still very alive and need to die. So this year is the year of death. It should have happened when you got saved. Some people believe it's the process of dying. And it is an I die daily thing. Paul said, I die daily. But you have to die to reputation immediately. You can't afford to live in reputation. If we're going to walk in the miraculous and you have a need to be known, you're in deep trouble. If you're going to walk in the miraculous and walk in miracles, and all of a sudden God does a miracle through your life, and you think that that validates your very existence, you're wrong. God can speak through a donkey. He'll heal through you. All right. I've been reading this morning. I read about the mountains, the mountain of blessing, the mountain of cursing. And I read the whole way through Deuteronomy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that we have this covenant that God has given us. If you knew all the hoops to jump through in order to be right with God, you would be really thankful that Jesus took away the hoop. God is holy beyond anything we've ever thought about, beyond our perception of holiness. God's way beyond that. way, 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 way beyond. Yet he tells us to be holy as he is holy. That's scripture, man. People are like, you're a blasphemer because you think that you can be holy when you're just a sinner. No, you're an unbeliever because you don't believe that you've been moved from sinner to saint in the new covenant. The new covenant that moves you from sinner to saint doesn't mean you don't have the ability to sin. You just, because of obedience, hate sinning. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become something else. But if you don't see what you've become, you will always be angry at people that believe that they are. I can't afford to be jealous of a person that knows who they are. I have to meet the God who is jealous so I can believe that he's right and I'm wrong. Okay. All right. Somebody's going to celebrate either before or after service. Lots of people wake up in New Year's and they're like, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution that lasts till maybe February. Go to the gyms and find out. Everybody gets memberships. January is the most packed month ever in a gym. Maybe COVID has slowed it down some, but January is the most amazing month because we've been taught all our lives that we're going to make a New Year's resolution and a commitment this year. And most people start their diet on Monday. Diets on Monday don't work past Wednesday. Are you with me? Come on, being real. This isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a change of heart. You can't afford to change your mind or you'll change it again. God doesn't want you to change your mind. He wants your mind renewed. But you have to have a change of heart for your mind to go into renewal. You have to make a commitment in your heart this day. Who are you going to serve? Today is the day that the Lord has made. So if you serve yourself, you're not serving him. Self is the issue. The Bible doesn't say deny the devil, pick up your cross and follow him. He doesn't say that. The devil's been denied. And if we see who Jesus is and what he's created us to become, not just to strive to be, we strive to enter into the narrow gate. But once you enter in and you come in, it's way bigger than it was outside. And that narrow gate is righteousness. I sent out a text to my staff yesterday. I'm going to read it to you. It was pretty not nice. If you're a rebel, it's not nice. Not that my staff are rebels, but if we can't, as leadership and people that are leading in ministry, if we can't walk in unity, and if we can't walk being of the same mind, how could we expect people to follow something that doesn't exist at the top, which is really supposed to be the bottom? Are you with me? Okay. Because a lot of them are on vacation. I said, good morning or afternoon, wherever you are in the nation. Going into this season of ministry, I need everyone, including myself. See, I'm not excluded. This is so important. If I'm not living the gospel, if I'm not living a life that's worthy of the call, it's all over the gospel when you see it. You are supposed to live a life worthy of the call. If you're not living a life worthy of the call, then you're living a life unworthy of the call. We're called to come out and be separate. What does that mean? Doesn't mean don't associate with people that are in sin. It just means that sin has to be separated from you so that when you're there, you're an influence instead of an absorber. I can't afford to not be an influence on every walk of society that I go in. I can't afford to live in a place of trying to be culturally relevant when the kingdom is absolutely opposite of every culture that this world has to offer, because we are not of this world. If we can't see that, we've got to see who God's created us to be. It's really a lot more simple than we've made it. People are trying to perform to be right with God when Jesus did it all so that we can live right with God. We can't afford to slip into a place where we think we have to do something to be. We have to see what Jesus did for us to become. And once you see that, obedience is your only option. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I don't care if it's 3 seconds. Doesn't matter how long you've waited. 1 second was long enough. When you made the choice to not obey, immediately you're in disobedience. Well, I will when. No, that's not how it works. When he says jump, we jump. Faith doesn't say, well, how far and where and when? And how do I know this is you? Don't put fleeces out. The devil loves to defleece you. Yeah, but Gideon did it. Well, you're in the New Testament. You're in a new covenant. Don't fleece God. Well, he's okay with that. Well, I'd hate to find out he wasn't. Are you with me? This is an exciting day. You woke up this morning, his mercy was new as soon as you got out of bed. Actually, before you got out of bed, his mercy was new. When you put your feet on the floor, it would be better for your heart to realize that every place that the sole of your foot treads, he has given to you. Every place, every job, every store, every parking lot is yours. But it's not for yours, for your glory. It's for you to manifest him, to bring him glory. What could one do fully possessed by God, fully possessed by obedience, fully possessed by love itself? What would happen if we lived that way everywhere we went? Christianity would become attractive again instead of repulsive. We wouldn't be known as legalists. We'd be known as lovers. We'd be known as people on our jobs that don't get offended, don't get hurt, don't complain, and don't play in everybody's games. You're not holier than thou or a goody two-shoes. You're a Christian. Someone that's been born again, a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things became new. They became new the day you got born again. But when you woke up this morning, they were new again. Like every day is a brand new day, a day that the Lord has made. And he's made this day for you to be a part of so that you can bring him glory. Today you'll never have tomorrow. You'll never have the chance to have this again. Ever. When you go out to lunch today and you tip your waitress, because that's what Christians do. Yeah, but she didn't treat me right. Good, then get what you deserve. Go to hell. Well, they didn't earn it. What are we thinking? Gosh, we should be known as people that are radically generous. When a tithe and offering comes around and people cringe and go, well, you know what? We really don't have it. It's the weirdest thing. When that thing comes around, a husband or a wife should be like, listen, we need to do this. The other one doesn't understand. I went through that with my wife. She was angry, man. I'm like, we need to do this. She goes, you're not doing nothing. Why? Because I ripped us off for 9 years. So when a tithe came around and they were like 10%, she's like, maybe we'll give 20. And that's the way it is. I do the bills. And I'm like, but God's in charge of our bank account. She said, no, he's not. I am. And in the natural, it's true. And you can live that way if you want to. But if you really want to see God rock your socks off, then start to be like him. People hate talking about money. They're like, oh my gosh, there he is talking about money. Oh my gosh. It's true what they say. It's prosperity preaching. If this church, if this building lived on your tithes, we'd be done tomorrow. I'm not kidding. Do you know how much it costs to run this place? Anybody have a guess? Do you know how much electricity is? Do you know what air conditioning does? I'm not trying to be weird. I'm just saying. Gosh, oh boy. Let me just read what I wrote. Sorry. I am so convicted right now. I'm so convicted. The Lord spoke to me yesterday. He goes, I want your full commitment. I said, Lord, you have everything. He goes, okay, I'm going to reveal things that aren't. I'm like, you do it. Whatever you tell me, I'll jump, I promise. So we started. So we're on a journey again. My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. He's the potter. Shall the clay say to the potter, I don't think so. I don't like that you push me like that. I don't like that you're molding me that way. Clay is silent. When's the last time you saw clay on a potting wheel going, I don't think so. That's not what I read. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Focus, Todd. You're opening up lots of cans of worms. You talked about money. Going into the season of ministry, I need everybody, including myself, to examine their hearts before the Lord. Please ask yourself the question of whether you are dependent upon God's Spirit in this new covenant as he wishes you to be. That one right there should cause us all to pause and reflect. Doesn't mean you search yourself internally or and try to evaluate whether you're obedient or not. You know whether you're a rebel. Are you with me? You will not have peace where disobedience is active. You can't. It's impossible. You will find your peace when you go back to where you lost it and obey. That's where it happens. Boom, right there. It's as simple as God said something to you about talking to somebody about the Lord. You're in a store. The Lord said, you should say something to them. And immediately your heart says, yes. And your mind says, not here, not now. Lord, I pray for somebody else to encounter that person. Whatever. That's disobedience, man. It doesn't matter. God's not asking you, and he could, he might. He might ask you to get up on a chair and preach the gospel. I don't know. He might. We need to get back to knowing and understanding the simple nudge of the Lord. His still small voice that nudges us. When you're obedient to the still small nudge, you'll never need the shouting voice. Trust me, you don't need God shouting at you. If he raises his voice, it's because you failed to listen to a whisper. It's so weird because we not listen to the whisper of the voice of the Lord, but we'll listen to the devil all day. He sounds like the world, so. We are headed into a very serious catapulting of the Lord, and flesh will not survive. That's the way that seems right to a man. He has told me that he will be pruning back and even further, pruning back any further, any area of control and manipulation within our ranks. And I'm the first to welcome this direction and pruning from our Father. He is Lord over this ministry, which is entirely his to begin with. All agenda that is outside of his agenda will be exposed, and repentance without delay is wholeheartedly necessary to be a part of this family that the Lord is raising. Correction always starts in leadership, and this will require Philippians 2 to be the strength of all of our lives. I truly believe that you guys are the dream team that the Lord has put here to help, but by coming to be a part of this ministry that the Lord has allowed me to give birth to, our dreams need to be one and the same in order to be a dream team of unity that will ultimately lead. And if we're not, it will ultimately lead unto a nightmare of dysfunction. I love you all with all my heart. I continue to lift you up in prayer, which is real. Seek the Lord intensely, please, and make sure that the role that you're in. Oh my, I said his plank. That's not right. The role that you are in is his plan for your life. Please make sure that your heart is all in, or please bring to our attention that you want out. How's that? I love it. Because only the strong in the Lord will survive. Because if you're strong in your flesh, you will bow. Doesn't matter. I can't afford, we cannot afford to enter into the season of compromise in our ranks. To he who is given much, much is required. People don't listen or look at that. They're so quest to get into ministry that they don't know that the further you go with the Lord, the further that's required of you on the area of obedience. And there's no questions. You're asking why I'm reading this to you, because I require it all of you too. Like, I'm going somewhere else, but I don't have any responsibility. Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't want to try to make a round peg fit in a square hole. If you know the grace is probably on your life or somewhere else and something else, I do not want you to be here because of you just fulfilling a job. Be honest with yourself, Lord, and the Lord, and to the team to make plans to exit into what the Lord has for you. We will miss you, but I need you to know, and I need you to be here only if you know that you know that you know. I'm not questioning anyone individually, but we cannot grow with half-hearted commitment. I do not have insight into anybody who might be feeling this way. I just felt the absolute need to ask a few heart-provoking and deeply probing questions to rattle anything that can be loose. I love you, and please read the following statements to gauge all of our hearts and motives. With all of our hearts and motives. Remember that we don't lead with our heads here at Lifestyle, we lead with our hearts. When we stand before him, we won't be judged for the motives of our mind. You will be judged for the motivation of your heart. The word judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. I love you all. And then I just gave about seven different things. I'm not going to go into them. It's just talking about preaching by the power of the Spirit, making sure that we're reliant on the Spirit. We don't want the Spirit to bless what we say. God, bless what I'm about to say. No, no, no. You need to be in union and in unity with him so that everything you say is already blessed. Are you with me? It's so important. Gosh, Jesus said, this is New Testament, this is an Old Testament, it's new. Because we talk about be diligent to obey all these commandments that I put before you, the Lord said. And he talked about it in Deuteronomy. He said, he puts before us blessing and cursing. Blessed and cursed, these mountains. And you look at Deuteronomy 28 and it is fantastic. And I know so many Christians that quote Deuteronomy 28. I'm blessed. Blessed going in, blessed coming out, head not the tail, above and not beneath, which is totally true. Totally true. But if you live in disobedience, you forfeited your blessing. It says that righteousness continues up to 1,000 generations. Generational curse can continue up to 3 and 4 generations. I will choose the 1,000 generation blessing. But righteousness is everything. And in the Old Testament, it was impossible to have it because your flesh had to walk it out. In the New Testament, your flesh has nothing to do with it except listening to God. It's with a heart one believes. It's not with a mind one believes. This is very, very hard. The gospel is way more difficult for people that are way more brilliant. Why? Because over time, their mind becomes God and they can figure it out. Figuring it out is not faith. Faith and logic are enemies and war against each other. You cannot. That's why Jesus said you have to become like a child. Because a child doesn't have to figure it out for 40 minutes to get to the answer. It's unfortunate that brilliance takes us away from faith. It doesn't have to. But it will. I know a guy that was totally burning for the Lord. I mean, like on fire. One of the smartest guys I probably have ever been around. And man, he pressed into the supernatural and it was wonderful. Then his brain took over. He was seeing people healed everywhere. He was getting words of knowledge, the prophetic. It was absolutely amazing. And then he turned to science and figuring out like where the edge of the universe is, the weirdest stuff. I've never heard anybody talk like that. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, man, you know, I used to pray for people all the time, but then like I moved past that. And I go, what? Why? How could you move past to witnessing? Like, what? I mean, how could you move past witnessing to strengthen this? We have to be really careful. You know, the Bible talks about Deuteronomy 28. And if you, I mean, I can just read a little, I'll just read some of it. You guys okay? Yeah. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today. So in other words, the contingency of blessing, what God wanted to do for them was contingent upon their obedience. So their obedience in obeying all the commands, 10 commandments, all the commands, all the law, 10 commandments. If you do, then I will. All these blessings will come upon you, and not just come upon you, but overtake you. Have you heard the song, The Blessing, from Carrie and Cody? It's amazing. Right? They did it with Elevation Worship. It's so scripture. It's so beautiful. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you, make his face shine upon you. It's the blessing. It's the blessing, the priesthood blessing. Psalm 67. But right here, it kind of dives into detail about some of the things. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be your offspring, the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out one way against you and flee from you 7 different ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways. So all the people of the earth will see you are called by the name of the Lord. They will be afraid of you. Gosh. In Deuteronomy 67, he says the same thing. And God will do all these things, and people will be afraid. They will fear you. Why? Because you're blessed. Blessed. But this isn't blessing and blessing and prosperity so that you can tell everybody how blessed you are. It's so weird. God blesses you so that you can be a radical giver. He doesn't bless you so you can hoard stuff and build vats and barns. Today, your life will be required of you. He says that in scripture. Who's going to have your stuff then? What are you going to give it to your kids and then have them be spoiled brats too? That's not the reason why God blesses people. We are to be individual storehouses and rock people's lives. Like in everything that we do, you are blessed by God to be a blessing. You're not blessed to look, even the people that fear you and are, look, I've had so many times when I'm in a restaurant talking to a waiter or a waitress and they're like, whatever, dude, you tell them about Jesus, whatever. I don't want to hear this, okay? I got a job to do. I have to go, okay? I got tables. And they give you attitude and they're angry at you. Why? Because they've been approached by religion before. And religion is not something that's attractive. So now you're there in relationship, but your voice is coming to them as the past religion that they've seen in their life. So you are no fun for them. But when you leave and you bless them and they get uncontrollably overwhelmed, we've had waiters and waitresses run across the parking lot and fall on their knees in the parking lot crying, please take this back. That sure is a different thing right there. It's the best. What do? We've had waitresses scream at the top of their lungs and run in the back. And the manager come out, listen, I don't know what's happening, but that was really amazing. They're the meanest waitress that we have. And they're in the back screaming and crying in a corner, and they won't even come out. And then you say, they did a really good job. And that's only a reflection on management. And the manager goes, thank you. No one's ever said that to me before. But you're a Christian. So blessing comes out of your mouth. It's different. This is what God's calling us to. He's calling us to be a blessed people, that our words provide grace to them that hear us, that our hands bring healing into the equation. Jesus said, go and teach them in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Let's just read it, because this has to do with obedience, because these blessings of Deuteronomy, gosh, I'll go there in just a second. I love this so much. It's so amazing. All of this stuff comes upon your life because Matthew 6:33 is the very thing that you've put your heart and your sights to. You have chosen to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all of these things will be added to you. The blessings of Deuteronomy 28 are all the byproduct of righteousness, are the byproduct of being right with God. Disobedience leads to death. Obedience leading unto righteousness. Romans 6, the whole Bible is about this very thing. The whole thing. Is it about doing something so you can be blessed? No, it's about seeing who you are because you're already blessed. When you say yes to God, you leave this and you enter this. But when you stand in who God's created you to be, you become a blessing in everything you do. And people that don't have that in their life are jealous because you do. And they're angry and they're jealous and they're spiteful. Do you know how much stuff is on the internet about me that is bad? Most of it. Most of it. On the internet, I'm a hockey player. My wife's name is Sarah. I promise. And Sarah's a worship leader. That's not me. There's a hockey player that lives in Canada that's really mad right now at me. I'm serious. He's a hockey player. His name's Todd White. I feel so bad for him. When you look me up on the internet, they see me with a hockey stick. We got our Cane Corso, we bought our dog, and the trainer came with him, and he looked up, because they do background checks, because they want to see. So he found out that I'm a hockey player. He comes to my house, he goes, you're not a hockey player. And no, I'm not. He goes, dude, people are so wrong. He goes, then I read this and this and this, and he had this big list of trash. The devil must really hate me. That would be tragic to go through life and have everybody love you. If you don't run into the devil along the way, you're probably going the same direction he is. We should be, look, these disciples, they went into a city and they said, these are those that have turned the whole world upside down. These are those. They only turned a couple of places upside down. What would it be like for you to go into a restaurant and turn it upside down? What would it be like for you to be known as the person that blesses waitresses, that they fight for your table? That's a great place to be. That's a great life to live. What would be known? What would it be like for you to be on your job and be known as the man that loves God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength? And then your neighbor that hates you, you love them. You have Christians, gosh, that are in religion, that are not in relationship, that are so angry, they hate the fact that you say that you can be right with God. The whole Bible is about us being right with God. God created us in his image and in his likeness. He made man. Man fell. Jesus came to restore what was lost. What was lost? Our image. What image were we created in? God's. What image did we take on because of sin? The devil's. So Jesus came to take the image of the demonic off of our life so that we could be sons and daughters that are just like our Father. The miraculous shouldn't be a well, maybe and maybe not. No, it doesn't say these signs will follow pastors and anointed, gifted speakers and teachers and evangelists. Todd White is a healing evangelist. No, I'm a son that believes my dad for big things. That's all. I will not let a person that didn't get healed affect the next one that needs to be. And I won't make up excuses that weren't in Jesus's mouth. I don't want to have things in my mouth like it's not God's timing and it's not God's will. Because they were never in the Lord's mouth, ever. And I'm not supposed to have in my mouth what wasn't in his. I'm supposed to be yielded to God. I'm supposed to be one with God. One spirit with God. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That's scripture. That's the Bible. That's not something that I'm making up. That is biblical, man. What does it mean to leave a legacy? This book that's coming out on January 28th has been 16 years in the working. This book will change your perspective. It's loaded with scripture. It's loaded with testimonies. My testimony, there will be so many drug addicts that get free because of this. Why? Because what God did in my life, he wants to do again and again and again. Why? Because a testimony means, do it again, God. Do it again. He did it once. He'll do it again. Why did the Israelites, why were they told to put stones and these little, they were called memory stones. When you walk by this, you tell your kid, this is where the Lord did this. This is where the Lord did this. This is where we crossed the Jordan. This is where the Lord, we crossed and the waters parted. This is where Pharaoh and all the chariots, all of his armies were crushed. This is where God did this. And this is where God did this. You don't forget the testimonies of the Lord. You can take a testimony that happened in someone else's life and say, oh, you know what? They didn't do that. The Lord did that through them. And if the Lord did that through them, the Lord wants to do that through me. Why? They're a son. I'm a son. He's their father. He's my father. He's their God. He's my God. That's the Bible, man. God prophesied through them. He wants to prophesy through me. He gave that guy a word of knowledge. Why wouldn't you do that for me? I'm no different. I'm a son. They're a son. You show no partiality. Man, I have pressed into this since the beginning. I read it. I say yes. I don't read the Bible and question it ever. God says it in the word and I say yes. I don't go, well, I mean, how? No. No. It's not, I understand, then I have faith. It's by faith we understand. It's completely opposite. Enemies are logic and faith. We call logic in the world wisdom. Oh, God. I've had so many people come up to me and tell me, brother, you need to use wisdom. I've had people say, you can't pray for everyone. You don't know what kind of doors you're opening. And I'm sitting there thinking, that is total fear. The Lord opens doors. Man, when I started to pray for people at the church, I wasn't allowed to pray for anybody at the church I belonged to. I just saw somebody get healed. So I went out into public and I'm like, dude, if God's doing it here, he's going to do it out there. And then I prayed for over 900 people without seeing one person healed. And all these wisdom church people told me the reason why is because of this and this and this. Yet they had no miracles in their life, even in church. Never take advice for somebody that doesn't have the power of God in their life. Ever. Why would I take advice from somebody who lacks what God said should be? They're trying to make you a convert and twice as much a son of hell as them. I just said that because Jesus did. I'm very, very, I do not need people to give me their worldly wisdom of why not. Who said, well, they're not, the only reason why people aren't healed is because your wife's not in agreement with you. And she wasn't, dude. I was a problem. Why? Here's my problem. 34 years, not one person said anything to me about Jesus. Not 34 years. Nobody witnessed to me. And that made me angry. Because I got shot at to find out he was real. That's a problem, man. So I swore in my heart, I'm not going to let somebody get shot at if I walk across their path to find out that Jesus loves them. I am going to manifest him. Jesus said, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. We will come and we will set up our home in him. That's what he said. So I just believed it. God said, Todd, you're right with me. I said, yes. He said, Todd, your sins and your lawless deeds, I'll remember no more. So I knew from the beginning that he would never remember where I've been and what I've done. That he actually took old things, they passed away. Wisdom of the world. Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but you know, you got to understand. There are some things. You lost me. When you say, I know that that's what the Bible says, but you have now brought a devil into the equation. Like, well, come on, man. There are other books too. I mean, people wrote that book. You're done. You do not believe that God's word is infallible. If you don't believe God's word is infallible, you really don't love God, because God has magnified his word above his own name. Say what you want, but it's not true. Well, I know that's for the Bible. That's just, you know, God was speaking symbolic. Like, no, Jesus walked on water. No, it was a metaphor. No, Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. Yeah, but come on, you don't really believe that. I mean, you know that water and the density and the volume and the. I mean, come on, think with me. You got a boat and you got like all the animals on a boat. I mean, how big would that boat? Let's think about all the species. I'm not kidding, dude. This is real. And so many people dive down this I'm smarter than God road. Have we really graduated to smarter than God? You can't afford to at least make a commitment this year to let God be smarter than you. What does it mean to surrender? I have people that say, well, you know, you have an altar call. The same people keep coming. I don't care, man. One of these times it's going to take. One of these times it's going to take. I don't care how many times. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to believe the best, because that's what love does. I'm going to go after God with everything in me, and it's going to make people very angry, and I don't care about their anger. I care about God's love. Because one day when I stand before the Lord and he says, well done, it'll be worth all the accusations that I went through my whole life. If you're not suffering for the gospel, you're not being persecuted for the gospel, then you might not be walking the way that God asked you to. Promise. All of God's promises are yes, and in him, amen. You believe that? Here's a promise. 1 Timothy 3:12. All of those that desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Doesn't say talk godly, preach godly messages. It says live. What does live mean? It means I'm going to walk out what it means to be possessed by God. leaving a legacy and an imprint on this world. Everywhere I go, believing that everywhere the sole of my foot treads, he has given to me. If I walk into a grocery store, it has now become God's. Why? Because I'm there and I represent him. I am an ambassador of another world. I am not an ambassador of Texas. I am an ambassador of heaven. I am an ambassador of hope. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ coming out of me is that hope being made manifest. Unmanifested hope isn't hope at all. I cannot require to hold him inside of me like a lake. The Dead Sea is like that. Nothing lives in there. And there's nothing living in a person that doesn't allow God to flow through them. Am I saying that you're not alive? No, I'm saying that you are alive. And I'm trying to awaken who God's created you to be. If I can just put the Holy Ghost defibrillator on you. Boom! And nail you in the chest. You can finally realize why you're on this earth. You're on the earth to, you're on the earth to manifest Jesus. God, by mercy, gave you breath today to manifest him and not you. Mercy woke you up today. And God gave you one more opportunity to manifest him and not you. Jesus takes over to the New Testament. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey. Disobedience is a direct reflection of your love for God. This is why the Bible says you must deny yourself. Is that so hard? Is this hard? Disobedience is a direct reflection of your lack of love for God. It's the byproduct. Disobedience is the byproduct or the lack of a revelation of God's love. Are you with me? That is so weird. That makes so many people angry. I had this conversation with Chris just this last week. They were at home and he'll probably share it. Just intensity of just opposition. I told him, I said, man, I went through that for 6 years every time I was with my family. Every time. They hated me. They wanted me to not do drugs. They wanted me to not steal. They wanted me to not hurt people. But then when Jesus was the answer, they wanted me to do drugs. They wanted me to steal. And they wanted me to keep hurting people. He was better the other way. Is Jesus that much of a violation? He is. Man, Smith Wigglesworth, nobody could hang around him. He was a pioneer of faith that people hated. Like, I mean, he was radical, buddy. Like, he'd go into a funeral home, to the casket, pick the dead body out of the casket, throw it against the wall and say, live! Unbelief has to do everything to get belief out of the room to feel comfortable about itself again. I promise you. Religion must do and say everything it can to get relationship out of the room to feel good about not having a relationship again. The Pharisees who had no relationship with God couldn't stand Jesus because he made them look bad. But really, he didn't make them look bad. Religion just looks bad. When you are in love with Jesus and you have a no vacancy sign on your forehead because you're fully occupied by him. No room at the inn. Sealed with the promise. The engagement ring of heaven. Holy Ghost. When you walk in the Spirit, when the Spirit of God becomes priority, the one that you can't see. So you must walk by faith. When you walk by faith, you will agitate everyone that does not. You draw a line in the sand and you cause people to fight you or run with you. There can't be any in between. Jesus said, you're for me or against me. You gather or you scatter. He didn't say you can be kind of for me and kind of for the world. No, he makes significant statements in the gospel. All of the word is God breathed. All of it. All scripture is inspired by God. All of it. For reproof, for correction, for admonishment. All scripture is God breathed and is used for training in righteousness. All scripture is used for training in righteousness. You are to reign as a king. So all scripture is used for training for reigning. People get angry at that. Oh, training for reigning. Oh, you think that you're... No. I know that he... People are like, oh, you think that you're... No. I know that he... What are you doing? You're talking like you're bigger and better than everybody else. No. My God is able and he lives in me. But you proud thing. I promise. Now, there can be that weird thing where you pray for somebody and all of a sudden you take glory to yourself. That's twisted. That's not true. You can't heal anybody. Yet God says, go heal them. Why? Because he has made you a partner or a co-laborer with him. And he wants to use you and flow through you as a vessel of honor, a temple that houses the Holy Ghost. But when you realize you become his temple, the last thing you want to do is share this temple with something that's not God. And it brings great adversity. Blessed are those that hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why filled? Because you give out of overflow. The more you see your right standing with God, the more you get filled up with who God is, and the more you must give him away. And if you don't, everywhere you go, it spills over anyway. And people see the favor that's on your life, and they are intimidated by it, so they have to come against it. So get ready for great adversity this year. I'm serious, man. Last year, COVID was the great adversity. This year, religion will be. I promise. I prophesy. It's just the Bible, but I'm serious. When you walk in the miraculous and hear God's voice, people will accuse you because you think you're better than them. And by no means did you ever say you were better than them. You just know God who's best. People don't like this because they don't like conflict. I would much rather have much conflict here than stand before him and be conflicted in my soul. I'm going to love him out loud. God prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. He says, here's a great place to sit down and eat. And he announces you on the loudspeaker to the devil. Oh, gosh. We, as a people, as men and women of God, should be excited to be in very hostile situations. Because in your weakness, you are a magnet for God's strength. He wants to show up in such a way to where everyone around you is rocked because there ain't no way that you can do that. There's no way. Most people are used to doing things that they can do in their own strength. But God wants to do things through you that people know and give glory and honor to God because there ain't no way that you could do that. This building, God says, in Pennsylvania, he tells all of our families there, except my mom, they lived in North Carolina. But all family, all Jackie's family is there. Everybody. And God says, I do not want you to live here. I want you to move there. I want to put a team around you. Lord, we don't need a team. I'm good. I want to put a team around you. I'm going to do a ministry training hub, an incubator. Lord, we don't even have an office. I don't need an office. I'm good. I'm an itinerant. I travel the world. We're good. I go where you want me to go. Well, here's where I want you to live. Okay. God says jump, we jump. All hell. Oh my gosh. All hell broke out. When we said we're moving, we're going to put our house up for sale in Pennsylvania. And as soon as we did, understand this. If it's God, you have a fight on your hands. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He's asleep. What happened? Major fight. Big, huge storm. Why did Jesus sleep? Because they were going to the other side. What did the disciples that were orphans in a boat say? Don't you care? We're going to die. Guys, where's your faith? Why did he say that? Because they had the ability to shut the storm up. He would have never corrected them. He would have said, I know, guys, it's okay. Shh. You need me. That's not what he said. When the disciples went to heal the epileptic boy, Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's coming down off the mount with Peter, James, and John. The disciples have been given authority. Go and preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, now freely give. Go get them, boys. Jesus deputizes the disciples. They come down into town. There's an epileptic boy that's throwing himself into the water and into the fire. The man brought the boy to the disciples, and the disciples didn't do what they were commanded by Jesus to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. They tried, but they didn't succeed. Why do we know that? Because the man brought the boy to Jesus and says, I brought him to your representatives, but they could not do it. If you can, heal him. Jesus doesn't say, okay, guys, good try. He looks at his disciples. He says, you perverse and corrupt generation, how long will I be with you? We couldn't handle that, dude. I want you to think with me. These are his representatives. I promise that they did everything they could to cast that thing out. Be healed. Nothing happened. Be healed. I guarantee in their brains, they're thinking, man, if Jesus was here, this thing would leave. What are we doing wrong? Jesus comes down into town. Come on, if it would have been God's will to not heal, that would have been the one. Why? Because Jesus gave them authority and they didn't do it. He would have said, you know what, guys? Look, this one, we can't touch. Let's just move on. Sorry, man. I mean, I'd love to, but we go crazy with that. When we don't see the breakthrough, we go crazy. And we give up praying for people because we don't want to have that happen again. Oh, come on, man. Is anybody with me here? I'm talking real stuff. Jesus says, you perverse and corrupt generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. What was he saying? Guys, I'm going to the cross soon. You're my representatives. I've given you authority. You got your mind so fixed on the problem that you forgot what I said. Your minds were perverse, twisted thinking, twisted-minded generation. Bring the boy to me. Jesus heals the boy. Boom. The disciples are like, Lord, what do we do wrong? Here's what he said. Your unbelief. He doesn't say this devil. He doesn't say this disease. He doesn't say that at all. He says your unbelief. For if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, be removed, and the mountain will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's what he says. Wait a minute, Lord. We saw all these other people healed. Then we come upon this one. It didn't happen. What happened? Their faith of a mustard seed was covered with many doubt. This is crazy. He goes, you know what, guys? This type only comes out by prayer and fasting. So it sounds like he's talking about this type of epilepsy, but he wasn't. He was talking about their unbelief. People don't even want to hear that. Then it causes fights. Were you trying to say they died because I didn't have enough faith? Dude, relax. We grow from faith to faith. We move from glory to glory. He says this type of unbelief doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. So he gives us a clue and says fasting is a key to help to move beyond unbelief and doubt. But Jesus didn't fast and pray right then. He started his life with it. So why are we doing a fast starting tomorrow? So we can be a believing church. Most people won't do fasting. They hate it. Fasting afflicts your soul, man. It does. I hate it. I hate fasting. I promise you I hate it with everything in me. And eating vegetables is worse than water fasting for me. Especially when you just got given a smoker for Christmas. What are you going to do? Smoke vegetables? I'm not even wasting the wood. Just kidding. Sorry. Fasting doesn't move God. So many people fast to move God's hand. Fasting doesn't move God. God's already moved. Fasting moves you out of the way. So God can move. It's different. It's different. Jesus showed this life of obedience to his disciples. A life of obedience. When we say yes to God, you've committed yourself to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your only reasonable and pleasing service. As a living sacrifice, you are on an altar. You have offered your body, your whole body. Your body means from your head to your toes. Every part of you is on the altar. A living sacrifice. And it says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove or approve what is and what is not God's will. What does that mean? When it comes to healing, when it comes to peace, when it comes to blessing, when it comes to generosity, you are a representative of the Lord and you represent him. He went as far to tell the disciples that whosoever sins you forgive, I'll forgive. And whosoever sins you retain, I retain. That is pretty intense. What does that mean? If people don't see your forgiveness, they don't believe in mine. Listen, if people can't see me as a person that forgives, how can I tell them about a God that has forgiven? I can't. I must display forgiveness in the natural to verify the spiritual. Some of you, disobedience has happened because you've held unforgiveness. I promise. God said, forgive them. And you justified it with the way that seems right to a man, and they don't deserve forgiveness. They need to say they're sorry first. Oh, you're done. You're finished. Imagine in my life, if I needed all those people that hate me so much to say they're sorry. I'm going to do a book and it's going to be life changing. I'm not kidding. It is so convicting. It will challenge your life. I read it. It challenges mine. I look at it and go, oh my God, I'm challenging me. That sounds weird, but it's total biblical. Like, it cut me to the heart. What do you think, Bob? You read it. Is it convicting? Challenging? I wrote it and it challenges me. I need to be challenged, man. I don't want to remain the same. I need to grow. We need to grow. We need to run and grow. God is faithful, faithful and just. We need to seek him when he be found, when he can be found. You need to be the best Jesus on your job. Christian. one that's filled with God. You can be the most amazing representative on your job. No, you can't be Jesus, but you're to be an imitator of God. So you are to imitate Jesus. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's okay. It's okay. There's some big sandals to fill, and they can only be filled by people that have denied themselves, picked up their cross, and follow him. Disciples. A disciple is one that denies themselves, picks up their cross, and follows Jesus. You are going to go through suffering, but suffer for doing good. It's commendable to the Father. Suffering for stealing, suffering for doing evil, that's not commendable. But I promise you that you have been granted, you and I have been granted the privilege of suffering for the gospel's sake. And as you suffer for doing good and for knowing him, God gets glory. Christians being crucified, Christians put around Rome, Nero put them on wood, tied them to wood, doused them with oil, and burned them alive, and called them torches to light the city. And Christians would burn willingly, suffering for the gospel. Who here's up for a little suffering this year? Look, man, not many people, I'm telling you, most people don't even want, fine, raise my hand. I'm not letting the devil know I'm willing to suffer. I say we make the devil suffer. First way you make him suffer is ignoring him. You ever play that game when you were a kid in school? Let's act like they're not here. Oh my gosh, how agitated did that get us when we were kids? Come on, guys, I know you see me. Get right in front of them. I know you see me. I don't see anything. What if the stranger would speak and we wouldn't bite the bait because we know the Father who's already spoken? So good. Stand to your feet, please. All right. If you've got sickness in your body or any kind of disease, I want you to raise your hand. Some people are like, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not confessing that. If you're hurting and you've got something that needs to go, lift your hand. Okay. That usually gets more people. I'm not saying you're in doubt and unbelief. I'm saying you need heal. Let's go after this together as a family. Amen. Amen. All right. I need people around those people with hands. People that have their hand up. I want some people around you right now. I'm just going to pray. There's people right here. I need some people around them. Come on, guys. Let's do this as a church, as a body. Guy back there in the back has his hand up. No one's around him. Come on, guys, for real. Let's go after this. We're like, I don't want to touch them. Y'all are my heroes. Amen. There's a little girl here laying on a chair, laying on a seat. I want some LCU students at least to be around them. I want everybody to be having someone to pray for them right now. Come on, if we're going to see it out there, we better go after it in here. Are you with me? I want you to say this with me. In the name of Jesus, we command all pain to get out right now. In Jesus' name, all sickness, in Jesus' name, get out. The Lord commanded us to do the same as he commanded his disciples to do. He commanded us to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, and to cast out devils. He commanded us to lay hands on the sick because we are believers. And the sick shall recover in his name. So in the name of Jesus, be healed, be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Heads be healed. Brain injuries be healed. Ears open. Eyes see. Jaws and teeth be healed. Neck be healed. Shoulders be healed. Back be healed. Organs be healed. Diabetes, go. High blood pressure, go. Kidneys, stones be removed. Infertility in married couples, be healed. Right now, be fertile in Jesus' name. Blood be healed. Right now, every joint be free from arthritis. Every cartilage be strengthened. Every ligament be strengthened. Hips, discs be healed. In the name of Jesus. Metal be removed in Jesus' name. Feet be healed. Numbness, go. Neuropathy, go. Heel spurs, go. Hammer toe, be healed. Plantar fasciitis, be healed. Flat feet, grow arches. In Jesus' name. ADHD in all children and adults, be healed. Memory loss, be healed. Sleeping disorders, be healed. Everything we didn't name, be healed. Gotcha. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want everybody in the house right now. I want everybody that's here and online. Check your body right now physically. Just check. Right now. Just check. If you have healing in your body, I want you to wave your hands over your head right now. If healing is manifesting right now and you know it, wave your hands. All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. How many of you have relatives that need healing right now? Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to do a corporate prayer for healing for your relatives right now. And I need you to do this. I need you to reach out to them today and check. And I want you to send in testimonies of relatives that have been healed. Because right now, it's going to be ridiculous. Oh, I'm so serious. I'm so serious. This is great. This ruins the whole, we didn't lay hands on them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith, praying from here for them. So many instances in the Bible. The centurion, one, Jesus. Jesus prayed for the centurion's servant. And that servant was healed from that very hour. Jesus prayed for the woman that was crying out after him. My daughter, help my daughter. It's not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. He actually said, you guys are a dog. You're outside of covenant. That was really demoralizing to people. Be like, a dog, whatever. No, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And her daughter was completely healed from that very time. Are you with me? So right now, in the name of Jesus, every relative that needs healing, we command it to happen now. As God's representatives, as God's ambassadors, we command, be healed in Jesus' name. Cancer, be healed. Asthma, be healed. Heart conditions, be healed. Arthritis, be healed. We command healing and wholeness into our family members right now at 12:56 a.m. January 3rd, 2021. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice. Yes!